This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So there are a couple of themes today. There are a couple of themes today that stick out. One is love, right? We hear a lot about love, even in our songs. So in the Episcopal tradition, we actually have, so the blue hymnal that's in your pew, the 1982, we call that modern, the 1982 hymnal, it actually gives you suggestions that go with the readings. And so obviously the suggestions today are, let's talk about love. That's a common theme in our readings today. But then there's also this word, abide. Abide. And then there's this other word that comes up a lot, disciples, right? And Jesus talks to his disciples about being a vine, and being he is the branches, and God is the trunk and the branches, and that we are the vine. And so when I was reading through it, I was reminded, when all of these things were, this is how my brain works, I apologize. So all of these things were going through my head, and it reminded me of this movie, and some of you may have heard of it. Came out in 1984, although I was still pretty young, so I probably didn't see it till later. But it was called The Karate Kid. Mr. Miyagi, right? If you haven't seen it, it's still a good classic. But The Karate Kid is about this kid, his name is Daniel LaRusso. And he's tall and gangly, kind of dorky. And he moves with his mother to Los Angeles from New Jersey. And of course, like many of us, if you've ever had to move in the middle of high school in particular, it can be hard, right? And so he's getting bullied at this new school. You know, here's this kid from New Jersey in Los Angeles, very different environments, very different cultures, and he's getting bullied by these other kids. And these other kids just happen to be really good at karate, as our friend Ross would say on Friends. And so this karate, he decides that the best way to fight these bullies is to also learn karate. And he meets this older man named Mr. Miyagi. And Mr. Miyagi is short, Asian, right? And I don't know if you remember the 80s and 90s, but the man who played Mr. Miyagi pretty much played any Asian character in any movie in the 80s and 90s. And he was this renowned karate instructor. And he taught Daniel how to do karate. And I don't know if you all remember the stance, right? He over and over again, he had to stand on a piling. And I always loved that scene because I live near the beach. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got to go find a piling to stand on. So I was, you know, I was young, adolescent. And like everybody who saw that movie at the time wanted to be good at karate. Like I was going to go and get the suit. Everyone was a karate kid for Halloween. You get the belts. I took one karate class and realized I'm not going to do karate. But we all thought it was pretty cool. And Daniel ends up being a very good student and learns well. But the way Mr. Miyagi trains him is very unexpected to Daniel. Like Daniel was ready, put on the suit, go to the mat, let's start working out, let's show me what to do. And instead, Mr. Miyagi has him cleans the cars. Right? Remember, wax on, wax off. And again, he did these motions, wax on, wax off, until they became routine. And so when he's finally frustrated, when he paint the fence, remember paint the fence? And when he finally had enough, he said, I don't understand what we're doing, Mr. Miyagi. I just feel like I'm here to serve you and to do all these projects around your house. And then they have a little, you may remember, you may not, there's just a moment where Mr. Miyagi starts attacking him with all these moves, and he tells him what motions to use. And next thing you know, Daniel makes the connection that he has indeed learned karate through all this. But the intention is that it's so embedded within him. Right? The skills and the discipline of karate of responding to the attacks is abiding in him where he doesn't even have to think about it. The other thing that made this connection to me was Mr. Miyagi had this little garden, and I don't know if you remember, a little greenhouse. What was in there? A bonsai tree. This funny little scraggly looking tree. It looks like, to me, it looks like a scrub oak that's been shrunk. Did you know that a bonsai tree will grow to the size of its container? And that if you were to plant it out, it could grow as big as these oak trees that are out front here of St. John's. That bonsai trees are intentionally manipulated to stay and grow in these containers. And they're pruned. They're pruned to stay. And if they do grow, they're really not that pretty as they grow big, right? Because they kind of grow out. They need to be pruned to keep their shape, to keep their design. Sometimes if they grow out in the wild and they're not pruned properly, the branches become so heavy that they actually break and drag down the tree itself. So we have these two images, this idea of repetitiveness, of learning to abide, of this idea that what we do consistently develops how we will respond at the time it is needed. And then we have this other idea that when we are pruned properly, we can continue to grow and flourish and be shaped. So today in our readings, we think about Mr. Miyagi. I think about, Jesus is telling his people, he's saying, you need to be pruned so that you can be shaped by me. But he also says, and pruning doesn't just, like when you're pruning a bonsai tree, you're also taking off green stuff. You're not just pruning away the dead stuff. And Jesus even says, sometimes pruning involves removing good things. Right? Sometimes pruning is not just about getting rid of the stuff that's not producing. Sometimes it's getting rid of the stuff that is being produced so that it can produce more. And then in the first letter of John, we hear, God is love. And that is in this commandment of love. When we love our brothers and sisters, that is how people will know that we are followers, that we believe in God, this holy God of love. And this word love gets so overused in our culture. And this is not sensual love. This is not how you felt about your boyfriend or girlfriend when you first started, dating, or how you feel about your kids until they become teenagers. It's not about that. It's not that kind of love. This is an abiding love. And we do this through practice, repetitiveness of reading the word. Jesus says, I have cleansed you with my word. So we read the word. And for us here in the Episcopal Church, the word are the gospel. So we read the word, we digest the word, we pray the word. And it's in those repetitive practices, like meeting together on a Sunday morning, where when we are called out into the world and someone confronts us with something that is painful or hurtful or dangerous or we don't agree with, we can respond without even having to think about it. We can respond in love. So we're trained up. Just like wax on and wax off, we're trained where we can respond without even thinking about what the world will throw at us. We are trained as disciples. We are called to be trained to respond in love. Well, what does this word love mean? We don't feel the same way about everybody, right? Remember, it doesn't say you have to like everybody, but it does say we have to love. Well, one thing I was thinking about love, I'm sure there's a million definitions. I was like, what does that mean to me, God? Because I do know different kinds of love, right? I know what it feels like to be loved. And underneath this idea of Christly love, of godly love, I think it's when we have the ability, when we encounter someone, to immediately think of their interests before our own. When our first response is to think of someone else's interest, or where someone else is coming from, before we think of our own, it doesn't say we're going to ignore our own, but when the other person comes first, like when that person cuts you off in traffic, maybe they're in a hurry because their loved one is sick. Maybe they're going to be late to their job again and they're going to get fired. Maybe they had a child at home that was throwing up all night and they're trying to figure out how they're going to make it to where they need to be on time. See, when our first response is in the interest of the other person instead of our own, that's when we begin to see this idea of love. And when we train ourselves again and again to see others, brothers and sisters, as we are all called in Jesus Christ, we begin to see brothers and sisters first as humans on their own journey with their own problems. When we see them first as that, before we think about our own interests, that is how we lead with love. Now, the world would tell us differently. The world says we should love ourselves first, and that is all true. But it is true that we have to know love before we can give love. But in this, I feel like the definition that Jesus wants us to understand of love is that it really is the ability to appreciate the other person before we look to our own needs and desires. We're thinking about vines. I was reminded when I walked outside, you guys can smell it in the air. Is it jasmine or wisteria? Now, I don't know about you all. We're thinking about pruning. And again, you have to prune away sometimes even the good to make room. So what is it in your life that God is calling you to prune? Sure, we can all name like the bad things, right? Christy, you need to stop eating cake every night, right? Lay off the sodas, you know, exercise. We can all think of the bad things that we might do. Don't watch junk on TV. Get off the TikTok, you know. But there's also, we have to prune some of the good. Some good things have to fall away so that more good can come. What might those be in your life? You ever heard the phrase, too much of a good thing? What might be too much of a good thing that God is calling you to prune so that in its place you can grow into the full stature of Christ? And I was thinking about the smell of jasmine and wisteria. How many of you are familiar with a wisteria plant? Oh, they smell good. Have you ever cut a wisteria branch? Like you want to put it, like we have beautiful flowers here today. How long do they last when you cut it off? Not long at all. But what happens if you don't cut it? It will take over your yard. It will grow and grow and grow, and it'll wrap itself around things. It can suffocate trees. It can destroy your privacy fence. It'll grow up out of your brick-laying concrete, all the hard work. If you don't prune it, it can destroy it. If you do prune it, the pieces you prune, you might get a little bit from it for a little while. But think about this idea of pruning and what Jesus is calling us to be, these vines. Think about the big wisteria vine. Its trunks are hardy. And it's a beautiful fragrance. And if it's not maintained, just like as think about us as Christians, we're the vines that are growing out of this hardy trunk. And when we're doing well and when we're carrying God's love into the world, we're that beautiful fragrance that we get that some of us are allergic to. But we're that beautiful fragrance that we get out of these purple flowers. And you can smell it for blocks. But if we're not pruned, then we get out of control. We try to create our own space. It becomes more about where we're going versus where we're coming from. We're coming from that hardy, sturdy branch, that hardy, sturdy foundation in Jesus Christ. But vines are also funny. And I'll leave with this imagery. I remember one day in my hammock in the backyard. Who doesn't love a good hammock on a nice afternoon? And at this time, we had a big wisteria plant that we had kept cutting back and cutting back and cutting back because it was taking over. And I remember I was laying in the hammock, and it was, you know, you could see the breeze a little bit. And then there was this one little vine, a good 3 feet away from the plant, just this skinny little branch right over my head. And in two ways it was saying to me is like, it feels like Jesus reaching out to me, right? Because the vine will move where it needs to go and grab onto whatever it needs and pull it in. So in one instance, it's this little vine that's coming out to me. It's saying, come. And in the same instance, it's like, I need to cut that back. Or next thing I would know, I'll not be able to get in my hammock. It's the pruning that keeps us growing and being shaped. But it's also the vine that grows and reaches to us. It's a both and.
So my friends, what is God inviting you today to prune? Like I said, the bad stuff is usually easy to point out. But there may be good things in your life that God is inviting you either to lay down, to let go of, to continue to nurture, but maybe not in the same way as before. All to make space for something bigger. Amen.